Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, thank you for tuning into my podcast, Tokyo-ish. I'm Tatiana, and I'm not only the hostess with the mostest, but I get people to spill all their tea while learning about their erotic, exotic jobs and professions. Ever wonder what a porn star does on her free time? Well, here it is. So enjoy the show. Hey everybody, this is Tatiana and Tokyo-ish. How are you doing today? This is my producer, Charles Maddox.
Yeah, what's up?
Hi, what's going on?
Eternal.
I know. I'm going to tell you, it's like a dancer. You only get one name.
Exactly.
Tell me, we'll jump right into it. I want to know everything.
Yeah. So, I got a background in film and television.
Yes.
But I started actually in music and... Yeah, I don't drop names. I've been a man to do my own thing, but I'm the nephew of the late legendary Bob Marley.
Yeah.
So music has been in my blood, and I started actually real young, probably like 15, and I saw an LL Cool J video.
Yeah.
And
do you remember which one?
I Need Love.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I was like, man, this dude is doing it. You know what I'm saying? So long story short, he lived probably about 30 minutes away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this little broke down car that I had bought, you know what I mean, as a kid. And went over there and found him. Long story short, we knocked on his house, on his door, his grandmother's house. And that lasted about a few times until he finally, you know, she came and she was like, hold on, you know, and I'm like,
Mr. LL.
Yeah. And then she was like, he came to the door and, you know, and he showed me some love. And and long story short, we became friends, made music together. I would stay with him, you know, from time to time, stay at his house on a regular. And so that kind of put the bug, the music bug in my ear.
Yeah.
Then me and his DJ, E Love, started working together because I guess him and L had some issues. And L wanted to give me, Todd wanted to give me a deal, but I can't lie. Back then he was, you know, he was a younger dude. He was a little selfish, you know? So he was like, yo, when my album come out, if it does well, I'll give you a deal.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking to myself, dude, I ain't waiting around
for you to be somebody.
For you to get no, you know, for this record to do well. And then you give me a deal.
Yeah.
So me and Earl started working together, and then Earl knew some good people, obviously, because he was with Elle for a long time. Got us to the right people and had a bunch of deals on the table from Def Jam, Russell Simmons, this, that, and the other thing. So music was in my blood, you know.
Not only hence the family.
Yeah. So music was my original passion was music. So then, of course, I went back to television and film. That's how I got into that after I released a single on Tommy Boy, because music is a hustle, you know. And when you finally get a chance to have those doors open, because that's what music should do. Anything should really open up doors to other things. So when it opened up doors to other things, I was like, yo, I'm gonna run through with this acting thing. You know, let me try this. Because it was on and popping in New York. And
this is in the 80s?
In the
90s.
In the 80s.
Yeah. Well, I was born in the 80s.
Man.
You're not that. I'm sure I'm right around your age.
Yeah. Well, not somewhere around there.
We won't say.
The next thing is like just around the 60s.
I wasn't going to say.
Just around the 60s and 70s.
Listen, black don't crack. So sure, I'm 40, I'm sure Charles is at least 1 year older than me. So
well, somewhere around there,
37.
Yeah. So I started doing film and acting in a lot of roles and just booking a lot of big roles.
Yeah.
And
what was your biggest role?
I played the lead role with James Woods. It was called The Summer of Ben Tyler. I was Ben Tyler with James Woods and Elizabeth McGovern.
My husband made me watch it.
Yeah.
He goes, I've seen him before. I know who he is.
I love. You know what's interesting is I had a lot of opportunities. And for any young person, you know, that's listening to this show, or anyone just in general, make sure you capitalize on your opportunities, however small they may be. Because the casting director, her name was Deborah Aquila. Deborah is literally one of the biggest casting directors in the business. She cast everything from Shawshank Redemption, Spider-Man, everything. And I remember I had gone in and I was auditioning with her, and not for this role, but for something before this. And when I tell you, I was horrible.
Really? Like at reading the script?
Because I didn't study.
Yeah.
I was, you know, 16, 17. I didn't study.
You just thought you were cute.
I thought, yeah. This was for another role, actually. This was for another role. Lynn Kressel, who casted Law and Order, cast me for The Summer of Ben Tyler. She cast me for Daybreak. But that was
Daybreak, the movie with the vampires?
No, Daybreak was with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
From Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
But that's another story. But I'll go back to that one. But I was horrible. And I remember she kept saying, "No, Charles, just try again. And I was just terrible. And the movie for Daybreak came. This was my first bigger role, right? So I said, "You know what, man? I can't believe I went in there and was this bad in front of this lady."
Yeah.
And you know, you can make millions acting.
Yeah.
So the next chance I had was a movie called Daybreak with Maura Kelly, Omar Epps from Juice.
Yes.
And all these other big names and Cuba Gooding. So it was just me and her in a room, dimmed out lights, and I brought this lady to tears because I actually studied and went and got myself together.
Showed her your skills.
Showed her my skills. And then...
Showed her you weren't just a pretty face.
So then after that, that's when Ben Tyler came. But at that point, I was good friends with Michael T. Williamson, who played Bubba in Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
So I used to live, I lived with him in L.A. too as well. He put me in his guest house and connected me to agents. That's how he helped me get my first agent.
Yeah.
And so he told me, I remember him, when he went up for the role as far as Bubba and Forrest Gump, he actually went there looking like Bubba.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because see, the thing is
you want to be the part.
You want to take the guesswork out of any opportunities. Yeah. Right. So the casting director, you know, if you go in there as a character.
Yeah.
She can now, it makes her job easier because she's like, ooh.
She can visualize it.
She can visualize it.
Yeah.
So I remember him telling me, "Yo, however you went in there the first time, you go in there, do the same thing again. If they give you, if you get a call back.
Yeah.
So if you got the same shirt on, don't change up the shirt. Don't change up anything.
Because she already put you in a role.
Whoever it may be. You know what I'm saying? I mean, as far as an audition, because usually you get an audition, then you get a call back, then you might get another call back in front of the directors and producers and so on and so forth.
And they'll remember you.
They
for
will.
Wearing
they will.
That.
And I'll tell you how that really messed me up one time. So that's how I got Ben Tyler, because I actually went in there kind of like looking like this, because Ben was a kind of like a slow kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, back set in the 40s. So I kind of went in there with that look, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Kind of slowish, kind of, I think I wore my pants kind of high up and so on and so forth. No, serious.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they wear them. A lot of kids, people like that wear them.
No
up.
Doubt. So then that's how I got that role. And that was a major role. It was, you know, we were nominated for all kind of awards and, you know, Emmys and stuff like that. How that came to backfire on me one time. You probably don't remember. Remember the movie, the TV show? They were in prison back in the day.
Shawshank Redemption.
No. It was like this was like, not The Wire, but before The Wire, there was...
was it a comedy?
No. Okay. It was like a HBO Showtime thing.
Yeah.
This was the show that the dude, the black guy, he has the dreads and he was in a wheelchair. And then the guy, the one who just died recently, who had died of a drug overdose, who had the scar, the dark skinned dude who had the scar on his face.
Oh, God,
you know his name. Okay. He's a big time black actor.
All right, I'm really bad.
Yeah, and it was me and Mos Def, because you know Mos Def is a good actor.
Yeah.
So it was me and Mos Def, and they literally, this was a big show. This was one of the biggest shows years ago, before The Wire. And we went in there, and I had to roll.
Yeah.
I had to roll. We had to sign contracts before we went back in for the last time. So my agent, we had to sign contracts. So literally, as I go there now, now we're in front of all the executives, right?
Yeah.
And I signed a contract right before I go into the room. And for whatever reason, I had watched Tombstone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With you know, all those famous actors. And I changed up I don't know why I did this, but I changed up how I was delivering the message, how I delivered the line. So went in there, and as soon as I started saying it, I could tell it was done.
Yeah.
And the casting director came out. He was like, "What did you do?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Well, you know," he's like, "Man, what did you do?" You know, so that was a heartbreaking thing too, as well.
And there's no do-overs. Which
there's no
sucks.
Do-overs. There's
but
no
they
do-overs.
Knew you, like, kind of like I.
Yeah, but remember that wasn't in front of the execs at that
point.
Oh,
okay, yeah, yeah, and that
you know
was
what I'm saying?
It. Yeah.
So if you if what they were selling you was on this, and you did something totally different, you know, and you know, so matter of fact, it was Val Kilmer's role.
And so, you know, everybody I think has to learn the hard way.
And that was a hard lesson.
But you'll never forget that lesson.
Yeah, that cost me a lot. And then another one, got a lot of stories, but then another one, I was cast for the original CSI.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, CSI was huge.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
CSI was huge, and CSI Miami. They ended up, I remember we had dates for that and everything. Then they ended up giving it to the guy. He kind of looked like me, but the one with the dreads, the light skinned dude who was on there. He was in Janet Jackson's music video. And
yeah,
and,
you know, I suck with names.
I'm the worst podcaster
ever.
They gave it to him. And it's funny because he lived in L.A. and I lived in L.A.
Is it the one with the light eyes that I always say you look like?
Yeah,
hold on, because we're going to show everybody.
But he got the dreads. So he was years ago. I mean, he's not doing, I forgot his name.
Yeah, hold on, because this is the one I wanted to
just put CSI Miami
cast.
Because
people tell you that you look like this one guy all the time?
Yeah.
Because I know, let me see, CSI Miami cast.
I think my look changed a little bit.
Hold on, wait. No, they're not.
It might not be CSI. It was.
It's not the Law and Order one, right? No, it's CSI.
No, CSI. CSI.
All right, go ahead. I'm going to find them.
And it might not be Miami. It might be, where was the original CSI? Original CSI cast. And he was in Janet Jackson's music video
as
well.
God, yeah, because every time I see him, I think it's you.
Yeah, he got into some drugs and some stuff. Yeah, that, no,
not, no, no, that's no, not him. Hold on. He's old.
He had dreads. No, that's not.
That's not
no,
him.
No, that's
Terrence
that's,
Howard.
Yeah,
I
Terrence
swear.
Howard.
I'm sorry, guys, but tell.
Yeah.
Do people say that a lot?
We actually used to go to the same church together.
No, did you guys look at each other and be like, "What's going on?"
You know what? Not really. I mean, not really. You know what I'm saying? But
I mean,
we actually used to go to the same church.
He does it not like you, but there's so many that I see all the time.
Yeah, we used to go to the same church.
I have to find the
together.
Other one. I mean, I hate to pigeonhole you. I think it's the eyes, but
because
even this what's his name?
Yeah,
this
yeah,
other
yeah,
one,
I don't
he's
remember,
got the eyes.
Yeah,
he's young.
Young
little boy. But we'll find him. Gosh darn it. Because I know who you're talking about, but that's you all day.
But yeah, but what's funny is, there you go. But what's funny is, so dude, we lived in Venice.
Yeah.
And so we lived like 5 minutes away from each other.
Yeah.
And a good friend of mine is a big producer. And so he connected me to him, you know? And so we went over his house. And it was so ironic because I'm looking at this guy in his beautiful house and I'm thinking, dude, you done took my house. You know what I'm saying?
You
took my house, man. You live in my life, man. Yep. That was my role, dude. You know
you
what I'm saying?
It, yeah.
So that's kind of how really I got off in the film and stuff like that, but always really had, you know, my passion wanting to get back to music. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You know, sometimes things have to go around the way it really does.
Because you weren't meant to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You wanted to, but you weren't meant to.
Exactly. And plus, I had a different mission. You know, yeah. What I'm doing right now as far as the projects that I'm doing and producing really is a good thing, and it's helping people. But I'm at a good space right now. So yeah. That's kind of like running. So now I could actually say, you know what, man, I want to do something else.
Yeah.
I want to do something fly and get off into getting back to music.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where for you know, maybe a couple of years, I didn't really know what kind of music I wanted to even make.
Yeah.
You know, was it going to be a little bit more Caribbean? Was it going to be this? So it was just like, I knew I didn't want to do Caribbean because
it's, again, going to put you in the box.
It's going to put you in a box. And let's face it, I mean, Caribbean, I mean, you know, reggae and stuff like that is kind of, it's really not where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, took a slide. And I wanted to do something where I could be on tour with anybody in the world at any time.
Yeah.
You know, and so we came up with this track. And, you know, I think for my first track, I think it's a banger. And I think that, you know, I could only get better.
Yeah.
And create more really powerful songs.
So, do you want me to play a little clip?
I would love it.
Okay.
I would love
it. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I would love it.
What's the name of the song?
It's called Forever.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal.
Okay. I have you up. I have you on here. Yeah. I was going to play the little clip that I have.
Please do.
Yeah, let's
Please
see.
Please do.
Let's play this clip.
I mean,
clip.
I can play it too, but if you got it. Yeah, right there.
This is Paul Allen from Night Moves Magazine in Tampa Bay, Florida, and you're listening to Talk Yo-ish.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Love
Promise
that.
Never leave your side. I'm broken when I see your eyes. It's hard for me to know it was you. Something that I realized. Took me a second glance to understand the pain in your hands. You know, it's ironic because I read that. I wrote that for my daughter.
Did you? Yeah. Like a while ago?
No, just recently.
Just recently?
Just recently.
Beautiful.
It was, hopefully one day she'll listen to this, but she's my little princess and we were really close.
She's your only daughter, right?
No, I have two.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I haven't seen her in like 2 years.
Oh, so she's not the one that I see?
No.
Oh, okay, no. Okay.
Yeah,
older?
Yeah. She's,
okay.
Well, she just turned 14.
Okay.
And I haven't seen her in like 2 years, which is crazy because...
You're very close to your kids.
We were very close.
Yeah.
And I can't even tell you the reason, to be honest. That's how crazy it is. I can't even pinpoint something and say, this is the reason. But obviously, we know what the reasons are.
Yeah.
Between, you know, the spiteful parents and whatever you put in these kids' heads. And I think she's also going through some internal changes that she's trying to figure out who and what she is.
And don't forget, she's 14. For girls, that's a big change in your body, hormones, all kinds of stuff. So
it is.
I actually stopped talking to my dad for 22 years from the age of 13. There were other factors involved that he did purpose. That was what he did. But we regained ourselves, because it took me a very long time,
yeah.
And a lot of therapy. But, yeah. You know, we talk every day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to say we're the best of friends, but I had to go my way, and yeah. He had to just wait for me. He did, though. So you yeah, wait for her.
Yeah, that's the only thing. It's like, you know what, I'm hoping and praying that she gets a little older and starts understanding and sees what's, because like I said, we were so close.
You know what my dad did, though? My dad never stopped. No matter how much hate I spewed, he sent letters, he texted, he saved, he showed up every birthday. He called and sang on my phone for 22 years, every holiday.
Wow.
So I just want to let you know, no matter what, keep going, because that did chip away. Because I was like, well, he never left. All the crap that I said, he listened. He sat and he listened. And you know, there wasn't much apology for anything, but he sat and he took all the abuse that I threw out there. So I just want to let you know, keep going. Even if you save like letters that you wrote her, or you do it so that she will realize, look at all this. That literally is like showing your love. You know, don't ever get mad and say, well, I'm not, you know, the giving up part. If he would have gave up, I would say, well, then forget it.
Yeah. No, I get you.
And she's almost 18.
Yeah.
So then you can almost become like a stalker.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Show up.
You're
tell dad, show up at my door.
Yeah.
I want my dad on my white horse to show up and save me.
I got you.
So especially for us mixed children or black or that is a big, big deal, because you know how the fathers are in our race.
Yeah.
So please don't stop.
Well, I'm learning.
I'm telling you right now, from me, from my heart, my dad never stopped.
Yeah.
I don't care if you put it in the shoebox. Yeah. Do it. So when she sees it, she'll come. She's coming. But you gotta keep nicking.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Always be that presence in her life, whether you call and you sing.
Yeah.
Every day.
Well, yeah.
I mean, so on your album, you got to put dedicated to.
Well, and it is. That's what
it is,
you know what I'm saying. I mean, that's this is definitely dedicated to her. So.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful song. I think it's very. I don't even know what category to put it in.
Yeah, that's the good thing. And I didn't want that, because, like I said, I want to be on tour with everyone from Billie Eilish to Coldplay. You know what I'm saying? To Chris Stapleton. So.
So what do you do now with the song? Because I know it's being played.
Yeah, and it's doing really well. We've got a ton of streams. I was just checking Spotify. We're over 6,000 streams in only a short period of time with really no promotion.
And now we're going to get to it, because I'm on it now.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I'm not it's not like I'm kind of looking at strategic, because remember, I did know a lot of people in music. So it's kind of like, number one, I'm working on another song. Because I've got some people who want to start booking me on some shows.
Yeah.
And I actually got a show in on the 20-something.
Okay.
In Sarasota.
I'm coming.
Yeah, for sure. Small place, but I'm like, you know what, dude? I'm just going to get my start and start rocking, because I see that this could really be something big. So I'm going to knock out another song, and so at least I have two songs so I can start opening up for people.
Yeah.
And then just continue the progress. Find a good manager. I just reached out to my boy Miami Mike, who manages Soulja Boy.
Yeah,
because he knows everybody.
Just about to say,
yeah, he knows everybody. So it may not be his genre of music, but he knows everybody.
Yeah, exactly. You just need, it's who you know.
Exactly. So we get a good, you know. So I'm not gonna. Of course, I'm not gonna do the grind like everybody else does. You know,
because you're not in it for that particular reason.
Exactly. So I'm gonna connect the dots faster and. But, you know, I think even this song, you know, there are tens of millions of people in the world. And I do believe that this song heard by the right amount of people would do very well, because it is a touching song that has some really good meaning to it.
And I love the melody. That who's playing the piano?
No, that's just something I just I put together.
That's really great that you can do that now and not have to have someone composing. But imagine that live.
Yeah.
With someone playing it, because I saw you with the band. I thought I saw a picture with the band.
No, I'm bringing on a band.
Okay,
I'm bringing on a band.
All right,
because you know, once again, this is a different type of music.
God, I wish I was up on my piano skills. I was in choir for 5 years. We did state championships. Like I always sang in the background.
Uh-huh.
I did. I played. Oh my God, the flute, the clarinet, the piano. My dad was very musical, so the trumpet, everything. Mm.
I'll have to start tooting it up again because yeah. I told you I want to be involved all the way as much as I can, whether I'm holding your wallet and your microphone.
I love working with you. I tell you, I love your hustle. I love your drive. I love your energy.
Thank you.
You don't stop.
I don't stop. I feel like I caught your attention in the weirdest way.
Yeah.
And like I said, even your friend told me, he was like, we almost left.
Yeah. I pulled up. I'm like, hold on. You know, what is this? But then I was like, nah, this is, dude, I didn't live life.
And I even told you, I called you. I was like, I will come outside.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, we can go across the street.
Nah.
But something inside had told me, I don't know, something about you. And I didn't even really know who you were. You know, they always introduce you as Bob Marley's nephew. To me, I don't get like starstruck. But for some reason, it just was something that was nicking me.
I wanted all the smoke. Yeah. I wanted all parts of it. You know?
Yeah. And I'm your platonic friend. Like,
of course.
I love that we can. Hey, I don't know. I feel like you're my family. I feel like you're a big brother.
No. For sure. We definitely got a connection and bond. You know?
All day long. I feel like I've known you forever.
And we got some other stuff we're doing too as well that I think will happen. You know, because trust me, I've got a couple of shows that I'm like, dude, this show should be off and running right now.
But it could take years.
It won't take that long. But I think that in some of the things that I'm doing now, those doors will kind of open. Because like I said, I just reached out to James DeBose, who is the top guy at Fox Soul. I want to get him the trailer so he can take a look at it, because I do believe Fox Soul is it could be a great place for something like this.
Yeah, to do.
There's a lot of opportunity, because the great thing about what the project that we're doing with you is it's a coming of age growth project in many ways. It's not just one thing. It really is examining people's lives and cultures and stereotypes, and kind of maybe breaking a mold or showing a mold. So we just kind of be a little bit more creative in who we're reaching out to and connect those dots. But so while I got some time, and I'm getting ready to start, finishing up a project right now. It's called Our Body Is Our Temple. I'll be in Philly and DC shooting that in the next 2 weeks, and then one day in Atlanta, and then we're going to head to Costa Rica to shoot Reversed in November. But kicking with the music and enjoying that and having some fun with that,
To do it. Well, you're a multitasker, I think, like me, and I got at least 10 projects going, but I feel that I can give. When I step back and I look at it, I'm like, oh, God. It's a lot. And then I start to get scared. But then I realize I'm like, I actually still have time for me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother me. And I like to stay busy. Just like you always see me, I'm everywhere. But you call me, I'm putting stuff down and I'm coming out.
Exactly. It's a part of the process, man. This life is short. Actually, as we just talked about, one of the guys who was a dear friend to me in my series, he has been on two series with me, both in Jamaica and Costa Rica, just passed away. Really sad about that.
Yes, man. I'm so sorry for your loss, for him and the family. Man. God forbid.
Good guy.
I'm so sorry. I mean, like you said, life happens. Yeah. I believe they're in a better place. He's looking down on us like, well, you guys need to be over here.
Well, one thing that does teach you is that you really got to take control of your own health.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, material things is cool, but knowing if you're healthy. So even the other day, I took a test. It's called a CAC test. Basically, it's a cardiac test that reads a calcium in within your heart, mm-hmm. and your blood vessels. So if you have calcium buildup in there, it could be a very bad thing that you need to take.
Did you pass?
Yeah, I got a zero.
Okay, good.
and you know what? It's interesting because I was expecting the worst.
Yeah.
But I wasn't worried because I'm like, yo, technology is crazy right now. And if it's bad, you just go get it taken care of. I'd rather know that it's horrible and I can go get it fixed than to die of a heart attack and never had known that you had this issue.
And a lot of people, especially again in our Black community,
yeah.
do that thing where if I don't see it, it's not true.
Yeah.
And I run into a lot of people like that. And I'm like, please, please don't think that, because that's not true.
You gotta
that's actually worse.
Checked. You got to get yourself checked. You got to look into your health overall, because you know what, man? I don't care what you may have, what dreams and ambitions that you may think. This life is crazy and it's short. So.
Yes.
So, all right. We got my time in over there.
Yeah. So tell me where we can all see you on Instagram, Facebook.
You could all check me on Eternal Music on Instagram.
And how do you spell it? Because they'll spell it with an E.
Y-T-U-R-N-A-L and music, M-U-S-I-C. So I'm on all those platforms. I'm even on freaking TikTok, and I'm not like a social media guy. You know what I'm saying?
I'll help you.
Yeah, I'm even on TikTok. But Eternal Music, I got a show coming up, man. We're gonna have some new songs coming out soon, and I think we're gonna
do
really well.
Do you know the venue yet?
I do, but I gotta. The girl lady sent it to me last night.
Okay, when you get the details, I'm gonna put it out there. I'll do a live. You know, you can do some live broadcast.
Yeah, that's right. We do a little live, a little live radio show over there.
Ready
man,
to go. You know? We can do it there, and I'll do it before.
Exactly.
So I can put on, you know, like I was taught by Jericho. Jericho taught me. One time she was with me, and she goes, if you don't pick up your phone, you're wasting all this behind the scenes.
Hey.
So.
And I'm going to do a music video soon, too. So
yay!
I need a bad chick.
Oh, I got some more. I got to show them to
you. I need an exotic looking, beautiful, humble chick to be the star of the video.
I've got one right now I want to show you. But, you know, I'm in reach with a lot of females, and we work together. We do music videos, everything, modeling, wherever the gigs take us. Sure. Like, there's never a gig that I turn down that, you know, I mean, I'm like, if the price is good, then we're going to, you know. And the girls get recognition for it.
Yeah.
So they love that they can come to me. I'm kind of like a independent modeling agency.
Exactly.
People always call and ask. I'm like, I really don't want to do it, but I end up wrangling everybody anyway.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that, again, we're like BFFs, and that you're on here, and this is always your platform, Tokyo-ish, and forever on all my platforms.
Yeah, man. Let me let me go out with this last song. Can't explain. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you. We're going to do this.